الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. We continue our readings and our studies together in the treatise of the Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab رحمه الله تعالى الأصول الستة الأصول الستة العظيمة, the great six principles, the six fundamental principles with regards to the methodology in the life of a Muslim on the way of the people of the Sunnah على منهج أهل السنة والجماعة. We continue reading from الأصل الرابع, the fourth principle. The author, he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, that the fourth fundamental principle from these six foundations and fundamentals is bayanu al-ilmi wal-ulama wal-fiqhi wal-fuqaha wa bayanu man tashabaha bihim wa laysa minhum. It's the clarification of knowledge, true knowledge, and the real scholars, the true scholars, and the real fiqh and understanding and the religion, and those scholars of fiqh and understanding in the religion. وَبَيَّانُ مَنْ تَشَبَّهَ بِهِمْ وَلَيْسَ مِنْهُمْ. And the clarification of those who imitate them and imitate the scholars and imitate the people of knowledge, imitate the people of fiqh, but they're not truly from them. They're not truly from them. He says, رَحِمَهَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى وَقَدْ بَيَّنَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى هَذَا الْأَصْلِ فِي أَوَّلِ سُورَةِ الْبَقَرَةِ. That Allah has clarified this fundamental principle in the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah, as we have seen in our previous class. The statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla, Ya Bani Israel, Uthkuru ni'mati allati an'amtu alaykum. Surah chapter number 2, verse number 40. And to the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ila qawlihi qabla dhikri Ibrahim alayhi salam. Before the mention of Ibrahim, verse number 122, Allah Azza wa Jalla, he mentioned again, Ya Bani Israel, اذكروا نعمتي التي نمت عليكم واني فضلتكم على العالمين. The author is mentioning here that the clarification of the true scholars and those who imitate them likewise are found in these verses. And then he says, رحمه الله تعالى ويزيدهم وضوحا ما صرحت به السنة في هذا الكلام الكثير البين الواضح للعام البريد ثم صار هذا أغرب الأشياء وصار العلم والفقه هو البدع والضلالات. He mentioned that also to bring extra clarification, that which has come directly and clearly in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Much speech regarding this, clear, and the clearest of clarification to the most ignorant of the layman. And then this issue became from the most strangest of things, and the true knowledge and the true understanding in the religion has been turned upside down to where the people considered it to be as innovation and misguidance. وَخِيَارُ مَا عِنْدَهُمْ لَبْسُ الْحَقِّ بِالْبَاطِلِ. And the best, what the people would have at this time, is mixing the truth with falsehood. وَصَارَ الْعِلْمُ وَصَارَ الْعِلْمُ الَّذِي فَرَضَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَلَى الْخَلْقِ وَمَدَحَهُ لَا يَتَفَوَّهُ بِهِ إِلَّا زِنْدِيقٌ أَوْ مَجْنُونٌ. And the outcome came to be that that the knowledge that Allah has made obligatory upon the creation and that He has praised, subhanahu wa ta'ala, no one would speak about this knowledge truly except for one who is a heretic or someone who is considered crazy and mad. وَصَارَ مَنْ أَنْكَرَهُ وَعَادَاهُ وَصَنَّفَ فِي التَّحْذِيرِ مِنْهُ وَالنَّهِي عَنْهُ هُوَ الْفَقِيهُ الْعَالِمُ. And then likewise the affair came to be that the one who would refute or speak ill about and warn from and take enmity towards this knowledge and the people of this knowledge, then this is the one who is considered a true scholar and a true person of knowledge. Whenever the ignorance is widespread and it becomes mixed with the truth, then we see that at this time the people of falsehood, they are able to have their way with the people, and likewise the shaytan. In our previous class, we've seen the importance of knowledge and its rank and its status and the understanding of this asl. Who can remind us briefly, a quick benefit? What is the status of this foundation in the deen, its importance? Is it important? Extremely important. Who can explain? Give a little bit of light on the situation. نبدأ الليلة بالمراجعة. We begin tonight with some review a little bit. Knowledge is important. نعم. And knowing who the ulama are likewise is important. نعم. Having the right understanding is important. Yes. Extremely important, the brother mentioned. حَفِظَهُ اللَّهُ وَإِيَّاكُمْ جَمِيعًا. Who can explain? Give us a little bit of detail.
Actually, I will mention the word of Ibn Sirin, saying that this knowledge is a deen, and to know from where you're taking the deen from.
Ahsant. Naam, this is a clarification of that. إن هذا العلم دين فانظروا عمن تأخذون دينكم قاله ابن سيرين الإمام رحمه الله تعالى. نعم. What's the relationship between this principle and the previous principles? What's the first principle? الإخلاص. What's the opposite of إخلاص? Shirk. So the first principle is the clarification of the obligation of ikhlas, worshipping Allah alone with no partners. And the clarification of that which contradicts that. And the opposite of that, which is to associate partners with Allah Azza wa Jal. Khalas. Okay, we see that there are people from the Ummah of Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, people who ascribe to Islam. They say, La ilaha illallah Muhammad, Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some of them, they say that we're Ahl Sunnah. But then you find them going to a grave and seeking refuge with the grave, or asking for a child from the grave, or seeking protection, making istighatha, seeking relief from distress from the grave, or they fear the person in the grave and the likes like this, or some of them even fear their mashaykh, and they won't make dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jalla except they have the picture of their shaykh that's alive, and the likes like this. Well, how did this occur? That's right, he is obtaining knowledge from the wrong source. He's getting information about Islam from the wrong source. That's how he got led astray from the straight path. In this manner. They didn't intend to make shirk with Allah Azza wa Jalla. These people, they think that they're Muslims. They think that they're upon Tawheed. But because they're receiving their information from the wrong source, from the misguided people, the people that do not deserve to speak about the deen of Allah Azza wa Jalla, this is one of the first aspects of how they left the straight path and how they wound in, they found in themselves in this situation in front of a grave, slaughtering for the grave. Or you find people, for example, if they get a new car, what do? Some people, may Allah guide the Muslims, they'll slaughter an animal and then they'll put the blood on the car. Huh? What do they do that for? What if you ask them, what do they say? For this is to protect it from the jinn. This is slaughtering and thinking that this is going to please the jinn to keep them away from the car, from the new car, from any accidents. Likewise, you will find in many Muslims' cars, I've seen with my own eyes, particularly when I was in Egypt, you'll find on the rearview mirror of many of the people in the car, they have a hand with an eye in it. They have a hand with a blue eye in it, and it'll be hanging there, or just be a circle with an eye in it, an eyeball, hanging from the rearview mirror. We will see this all the time when we take taxis here and there. And we'll ask, what is that for? He said, oh, this is protect us from the ain, from the evil eye. We said, oh, Allah, billah, this is shirk. Not one person. Wallahi, many, many people. But they don't know, though. This is what they've been told. This is what's being spread in society. It's worse than this in some communities and Muslim lands. We see many of the masajid in Pakistan, for example. I have a friend right now, one of my companions in Lahore right now, and he said he stopped to pray. He went in the masjid and he seen the people around the grave. He just stopped at the local masjid. He's new there. He goes in the masjid and there's a grave there. He's afraid and he left. He called me. He was like, Wallahi, they're right. They have graves in the masajid. He's witnessing them with his eye. And this is normal for the people. His family is like, what are you doing? He's like, you can't pray in here. They're like, no, it's normal. All the masajid are like this. They've become accustomed to it. Even though his family is not involved. Those people there, they're not involved in that. But it's normal to have a grave in the masjid. How did this occur? They definitely got the knowledge from the wrong source. And this is one of the great points of misguidance, taking the knowledge from the wrong source. Likewise, what's the next principle? This is just some examples. So now we can see the importance that the knowledge is light. It's very important to get the knowledge from a reliable source. Now we see why Ibn Sirin said that, rahimahullah. So this is their way all the way from the beginning. We're seeing why. Yeah, this is some examples in our lifetime now. The result of the one who takes knowledge from the wrong source. What about the second principle? What was that? Who can remind us? Huh? Al-ijtima'u fi al-deen. Naam. Wa adam at-tafarruqi fi. To be united in the religion and to not be divided. And so this means, what does that mean? That everybody has to be united upon the straight path. What is the straight path? The path of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions. So how do people leave the straight path? Not following their way. One of the ways they can do it, many ways, by shubuhat and shahawat, desires and whims, but also one of the quickest ways to receive the knowledge from the wrong source, like the Khawarij. What happened to them? How did they split away from the straight path? And how did they become the first sect, the first sect to deviate in Islam? The ulama, they mention, is the Khawarij. In the time of Ali radiallahu anhu. At this time, though, before they did that, what happened? How did they split away? Abdullah ibn Bas, he went to them to talk to them, to advise them. How come you split away from us? All the Muslims are united. Ali is the leader, radiallahu anhu. And then there are other sahaba that are alive. Abdullah ibn Umar is alive. Abu Hurairah, radiallahu anhum, they're alive at this time. There's many companions alive at this time. Anas ibn Malik is alive at this time. How did these people separate, radiallahu anhum jami'an? How did they separate? What did Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhum, say to them first? They split. The companion was on this side, and then these Khawarij, they went on this side, and they had fought with Ali, radiallahu anhu, and they had the Quran as their proof. What did the first thing he say? I don't see any of the companions. I'm coming from the side of the companions. I don't see none of the companions with you. And the companions don't understand this issue the way that you do. So they're getting their knowledge from the wrong source. So they split away from the straight path. Likewise, those who, the Rafidah, they started claiming that, even they went to extreme, claiming that Ali, radiallahu anhu, was the ilah. They said he was God, some of them. Where did they get this from? Abdullah ibn Sabah, they mentioned, the ulama, they mentioned, he's a Yahudi, he is the one who started saying this. Getting the knowledge from the wrong source. Even whenever the deviation of the Mu'tazila and the Jahmiya, they mentioned that, where did all this come from? All the way back to the wrong sources. They're getting knowledge from the wrong sources. Mentioned that one of the first people to mention this statement was a man named Susan, and he was a Nasrani. And then Mahbal al-Juhani got it, and then they got it, and then they got it like this, and then Wasil ibn Atta', and like this. But it was coming from the wrong sources. That's how they got this misguidance. With regards to the names and attributes of Allah Azza wa Jalla, with regards to the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with regards to the attribute of speech, and the Quran is the speech of Allah, and the likes like this. All of these people, they didn't receive this from the Sahaba, which is the source of the knowledge, the source of the Quran and the Sunnah. Because the Quran was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by Allah Azza wa Jalla. Allah revealed it to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we know that the revelation came sometimes by way of Jibreel alayhi salam, and sometimes it came directly. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that was the heaviest of the revelation, like the dinging of a bell. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam received the revelation from Allah azza wa jalla, and the companions, they received the revelation from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They received the clarification from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Quran and the Sunnah, that it's an obligation to follow, they're the ones who know it. And their understanding is the correct understanding. So whenever they went away from this understanding and they got their understanding from another source, that's when they went astray. Likewise, today we see the Khawarij of the day, those who go against the rulers. That's breaking the second principle. But how did they break that second principle? How did they divide away? And then how did they go against the ruler? Because they have the wrong understanding. How did they get the wrong understanding? They're not taking the knowledge from the proper source, from the pure source, from the understanding of the Sahaba, from the understanding of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And likewise, the people today, whenever they want to go against the ruler, and they go through the street and they make protests and the likes, what are the, who is telling them to do this? The ulama of the sunnah or the ulama of falsehood? The ulama of desires, do they have any proof from the Quran and the sunnah with the correct understanding of the sahaba for this? Protesting, or is that the way of the communists? Is that the way of the Westerners now today, protesting and standing in the street and going together? Was that ever the way of the Muslims? No. So they're getting their knowledge from the wrong source, going astray, and what happens because of that? Corruption in the land. Corruption in the land. And then after the corruption is in the land, then they say, no, we only want good. We only want good. So the issue, again, is very important to have knowledge. It's very important to have knowledge and to have the proper knowledge and to receive it from the proper source. Many of the misguidance that we see amongst the ummah, this is the source of it. Misunderstanding in the deen. How did they get shubuhat? From taking knowledge from the wrong source. People of shubuhat, the misguided ulama, the misguided people who ascribe to knowledge that are not really from it. How did they fall into sins? Some of them simply because of desires. Other than them, there's people who encourage them and make it permissible. There's people who make selling alcohol permissible. Some who ascribe to knowledge, they claim it's permissible to sell alcohol to the non-Muslims. They claim it's permissible to take interest in the lands. There are people who have fatwa like this, misguided people. Contrary to the Quran and the Sunnah. If an individual takes knowledge from the wrong source, then this is dangerous for him. This is dangerous for him and for the one giving the knowledge. So then the clarification of knowledge and the ulama, this is very important. The clarification of fiqh and the fuqaha, this is very important. Generally, whenever the ulama or these terms are mentioned like this, the ulama, the fuqaha, they sometimes could mean it's the muradif, they're synonyms. This person is Adam, this person is Faqih. But also, it could be have a different meaning, like the fuqaha would be more specific and the ulama would be general, depending on the context. The ulama of the Quran and the Sunnah. Yani in general, the ulama of aqidah and the ulama of hadith and the ulama of fiqh and the ulama of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then whenever it's mentioned along like this, the fuqaha, then this one would be understood as those who understand the rulings and derive the ahkam of the deeds in the manner to worship and the manner to pray and the likes like this in the manner of transactions, the fuqaha, those who have the understanding in the religion of Allah Azza wa Jal. So like this, it's important to understand who the ulama are and the fuqaha are, the true knowledge and the true fiqh, not just from anywhere, not from anyone who just claims to have knowledge, not from anyone who memorizes the Quran, not from anyone who has beautiful and eloquent speech, not from anyone who gives a good khutbah. He's not actually upright. Sometimes, this is the case, it's very dangerous to see that we rely upon this only. He speaks well, or he has a good khutbah, or he has a doctor's degree. La, you have to look, actually, where did he receive his knowledge from? Who are his mashayikh and the likes like this? And then also look at his actions and his conduct and his way and the likes like this. This is going to be the way that determines. Even if he has all the doctor's degrees and all the praises from the people, then if we see him and he's living with us and we see his actions are contrary, then this is not going to benefit him. This is not going to benefit him. And this is the first thing that Allah is clarifying in these verses that the author he mentioned. So in any case, we know that whenever the word al-ilm is mentioned, what is the intended by way of that? Aywa, al-ilm al-shar'i. The knowledge of the legislation of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And if anybody wants to use knowledge, ilm, in another light, how would they have to use it? Making a restriction, yani mentioning Allah, ilm al-handasa, or ilm al-tib. They have to restrict it. But whenever it comes in the text, then it's just used generally like this, al-ilm. Naam Rabbi Zidni Ilma. The intent here is the legislative knowledge. The knowledge of the Quran and the knowledge of the Sunnah. The knowledge of the way of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Likewise, what is the meaning of fiqh? Jurisprudence. That would be the technical term. Naam, the mustalah al-am. Jurisprudence. Yani fiqh. Yani ma'rifat al-ahkam. Naam, ma'rifat al-ahkam. Knowing the rulings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But likewise, in general, the word fiqh, it means fahm, to understand. Ya shu'aybu ma nafqahu kathirun mimma taqul. It's mentioned that Shu'aib, they said to the people of Shu'aib said to him, "Oh Shu'aib, we do not understand most of what you say." And they're trying to refute him and to belie him. But they use the word manafqahu, manafhamu. So at fiqh, the ulama, they mention it means fahm, it's understanding, a general understanding. And likewise, this is the, and in the deen, a general understanding in the deen. And likewise, it came in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Man yuridillahu bihi khayran yufaqihu fid deen." That whoever Allah wants good for, He will give him understanding in the deen. This is not necessarily just talking about ahkam, but rather the greatest understanding is the understanding of? In the deen, the greatest understanding in the deen is the understanding of? At-tawheed, the understanding of at-tawheed and who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is and who is, and what are His rights and how, and to know Him by His names and His attributes and by His actions subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that He is the only one worthy of worship. And that He has all the most beautiful names and attributes of perfection without any deficiency whatsoever, subhanahu wa ta'ala, deserving to be worshipped alone. This is the greatest understanding. So to have this ilm and this fiqh, this is from the greatest of blessings. And it's by way of the ilm and the fiqh that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He puts the light of guidance in the hearts. And Allah had made this the means for guidance. To receive guidance and to be upon the straight path is going to be by the light of knowledge and understanding. So the one who has ilm and he knows the proper creed and proper belief, and he knows the knowledge of iman and in Allah and in His angels and in His books and in His messengers, the proper belief in the Day of Judgment, Day of Resurrection, the proper belief with regards to the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is ilm. Naam, he knows how to worship Allah Azza wa Jalla. He knows how to pray. He knows how the Prophet prayed. Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. Pray how you have seen me pray. Khudhu anni manasikakum. Hadha huwa al-fiqh. To worship Allah Azza wa Jalla the way the Prophet worshipped him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To worship Allah. So this is fiqh. So he has knowledge, he has fiqh. He has knowledge of his creed. He has knowledge of his methodology and deen. And he has knowledge of how to worship Allah Azza wa Jalla in a manner pleasing to him. This is very important. This is of the great. This is the greatest of blessings, to be upon knowledge, to be upon clarity in the deen. It's very important to know where the knowledge comes from. It's very important to know where the knowledge comes from. Because this Qur'an that Allah has revealed for us as guidance. And the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is guidance. And likewise it is revelation. And these are the evidences of a Muslim. The Qur'an and the sunnah. The Qur'an and the Sunnah. Whoever leaves off this evidence, then he left off the straight path. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he used to say a very important benefit or beneficial statement. He would say, "Man faraqa al-dalil, faqad dhalla al-sabil." Whoever left the evidence, then he left the straight path. "Wala dalil illa bima ja'a bihi al-rasul," sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there's no evidence except for what the Messenger came with. So whoever separates himself from the evidence, then he has lost the path. And there's no evidence except in with what the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam came with. That's why we see what we mentioned in the last class. What is knowledge? True knowledge. What is it? Huh? We mentioned a little brief statement. العلم هو ما أنزل الله عز وجل على نبيه صلى الله عليه وسلم. This is knowledge. What Allah revealed to His Prophet. This is the knowledge. What is the knowledge? It's the knowledge of the Quran and the Sunnah. But the knowledge of the Quran and the Sunnah, this is the knowledge of the revelation. That which Allah revealed in revelation from the Quran and the Sunnah to His Prophet, this is knowledge. This is knowledge. This is knowledge. Everything else is knowledge that's restricted. You have to mention it in a restricted form. The knowledge of engineering, the knowledge of science, the knowledge of biology, the knowledge of hendasa, the knowledge of medicine, ilm al-tibbi, ilm al-hendasa. Like this with restriction or with taqeed. It's mentioned along like this. But whenever it's used like this, that ilm, al-ilm al-nafi. This is what Allah Azza wa Jalla has revealed to His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And whoever goes away from that, then he separated from the right path. Then he separated from the right path. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned some lines of poetry which are very beneficial to clarify this. He would say in his Nuniyah, "Wal ilmu ma'rifatul huda bidalilihi." مع ذلك والتقليل يستويان. والعلم معرفة الهدى. He made a great definition. We can memorize it together. العلم معرفة الهدى بدليله. والعلم معرفة الهدى بدليله. Four, five words. What is knowledge? Who can translate from the American brothers? Abdullah. العلم معرفة الهدى بدليله.
The ilm is the knowledge of knowing the knowledge with the proofs.
أيوة. Knowing the guidance. معرفة الهدى. To know the guidance with the proof. This is knowledge. To know the guidance with the proof. Where's your Lord? Ah. Where's your Lord? أين ربك؟ Ah. فوق السماء ها في السماء على السماء what's the دليل
الرحمن
على العرش استوى نعم like this my Lord is not everywhere he's not here he's not there نعوذ بالله some people say he's everywhere meaning like he's in the bathroom أكرمكم الله لا أبدا نعوذ بالله لا يليق بالله عز وجل أن يوصف بذلك هو فوق عرشه بائن من خلقه سبحانه وتعالى كما يليق بجلاله وعظمته. In a manner befitting his majesty, he's above his throne. In a manner befitting his majesty, we don't know how. He didn't tell us. But this is what he has informed us, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he's above his throne. Ar-Rahmanu ala al-Arsh istawa. In a manner befitting his majesty. In a manner befitting his majesty. Like this. Al-ilm ma'rifatul huda bidalilihi. Somebody lost wudu in salat. What does he have to do? Huh? He has to do what? والدليل أي صح that's the hukum the دليل معرفة الهدى بدليله العلم نريد علم
Allah doesn't accept the prayer of a person who's not on purity
أيوة
that's
the hadith لا يقبل الله الصلاة أحدكم إذا أحدث حتى يتوضع Allah doesn't accept the salat of one of you if he loses his wudu until he makes wudu. The first hadith in Umdat al-Ahkam. Sahih? Second hadith. The first hadith in Amal ibn Niyat. First hadith with regards to the bab. Naam. Like this. So this is why the ulama, what do? They advise us to memorize. Memorize these small texts. Like for example, memorize these usul al-sitta. Memorize Umdat al-Ahkam. It's 400, 500 hadith. Before that, memorize Arba'in al-Nawawiyya. Like this, memorize them and have a general understanding. Memorize the Surah Thalatha. Memorize Al-Qawaid Arba. Memorize Nawaqil al-Islam. This is the advice of the ulama. Why? Because this is knowledge. Ma'rifatul huda bidalilihi. And this is something you start little by little. You move up little by little. First, you start up before all of that. You memorize Alif, Ba, Ta, Fa for the American brothers or for the brothers who don't know Arabic. You memorize this. I remember myself to encourage you. I memorize Alif, Ba, Ta, Tha, like this. This is where it starts. You memorize Alif, Ba, Ta, and then you go from there. Ba, Ta. Then they correct you and Alhamdulillah. You memorize. The deen of Allah Azza wa Jalla is memorized. The knowledge of an individual is in his heart. The one that he goes in the bathroom with. Akramukum Allah. No one can take it from him. خَفِيفُ الْحَمْلِ يُجَدُ حَيْثُ كُنْتَ كَنْزُ لَا تَخَفُ عَلَيْهِ لِصَّةِ خَفِيفُ الْحَمْلِ يُجَدُ حَيْثُ كُنْتَ يَزِيدُ بِكَثْرَةِ الْإِنْفَاقِ مِنْهُ وَيَنْقُصُ إِنْ بِهِ كَافٍ شَدَدْتَ This is knowledge. The knowledge that you keep with you all the time, it's light for you. Nobody can steal it from you. You don't have to worry about the thief. Your money, you have to worry about the thief. Your knowledge in your heart, the thief can't steal it from you. You don't have to worry. Your property and your belongings on your back, it gets heavy if you have to carry it around. But the knowledge, it's light, alhamdulillah. But at the same time, it's heavy because it's the revelation of Allah Azza wa Jal. وَإِنَّا سَنُلْقِي عَلَيْكَ قَوْلًا ثَقِيلًا أَيْوَا مَعْرِفَةُ الْهُدَى بِدَلِيلِهِ Who memorized it? اللهم بارك أحسنتم أيوة العلم معرفة الهدى بدليله العلم معرفة الهدى بدليله Who said that?
Ibn Qayyim
So to understand and to have knowledge of the proof and the evidence of our deen then this is knowledge to have the guidance to have the guidance, to know that Islam is the proof, to know that Islam is the truth, to know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's the real Prophet, he's the Prophet of Allah azza wa jal. To know that with proof. To know that Allah azza wa jal, he's the creator of the heavens and the earth. He's the one who created everything in our hands and our eyes and our feet, and he is the one who provides everything. To know this with evidence from the Quran and from the Sunnah, this is knowledge. This is knowledge. That's why the same scholar, Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, what did he mention about the first thing to know? Huh? Ma'rifatullah. Ma'rifatullah. Wa ma'rifatu nabihi wa ma'rifatu dinu islami bil adilla. And the first of the three fundamental principles is to know, have knowledge of Allah, and to have knowledge of His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to have knowledge of the religion of Islam with the proofs. لا ذلك والتقدير يستوي يعني ما ذلك والتقدير يستوي يعني التقليد blind following is not sufficient. That's why some of the ulama mentioning with regards to creed that you can't blind follow. What happened to the people that couldn't answer these questions in the grave? They were just saying what the others said. Huh? The munafiq and the one, what does he say? La adri. سَمِعْتُ النَّاسَ يَقُولُونَ شَيْئًا فَقُلْتُهُ. When they ask him, who is your Lord? Who is your Prophet? What is your deen? They say, I don't know. I heard the people saying something, so I said the same thing they did. Na'udhu billah. Na'udhu billah. That's the day we all have to prepare for. That's the day that we all have to prepare for. That's why we want to know the huda. That's why we want to have ma'rifatul huda bidalilihi. We want to have the knowledge of the guidance with this evidence, so that when it's my turn to say, Rabbi Allah wa Nabiyyu Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa dini al-Islam, I can say it by the grace of Allah azza wa jal. Because why? Because I lived upon it and I knew what it was when I was alive. So this person, Allah give him success to say it whenever he's in his grave. Now, then this fourth principle again, we're going to go back. Very important. Bayan al-ilmi wal-ulama wal-fiqhi wal-fuqaha. Now, this is the case. Very, very important. Another portion of this poem also clarified again the meaning of knowledge. Ibn Qayyim in the same poem, al-Nuniyya, he says, al-ilmu qala Allahu qala rasuluhu qala sahabatu hum ulul arfani, hum ulul al-irfani. Al-ilm qala Allahu, yani what is this? How do we know the guidance? What is the guidance? Qala Allahu wa qala rasuluhu wa qala sahabatu hum ulul al-irfani. These are the ones that possess understanding, and they possess understanding and knowledge. So the knowledge is what Allah has said in His book, and knowledge is what the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, and knowledge is what his companions were upon sallallahu alaihi wasallam wa radiyallahu anhum. After that, then the choyani, that's not knowledge. This is the correct knowledge. After that, if the statements of the tabi'in were in accordance with this, alhamdulillah, we take it. And that's about tabi'in. All the way until our day, we look at them. These are the ones that lived and died upon Islam, and Allah is pleased with them. Naam? And Allah is pleased with them. السابقون الأولون من المهاجرين والأنصار والذين اتبعوهم بإحسان رضي الله عنهم. That's who we want to be from. Those who follow them exactly. That's why we want to be upon this knowledge. And that means that we have to obtain that knowledge. And that means that we have to seek the right path and take it from the right sources in order to get it. Because why? As the author mentioned, وَبَيَّنُوا مَنْ تَشَبَّهَ بِهِمْ وَلَيْسَ مِنْهُمْ. The clarification of those who imitate them and they're not really from them. How many of them are they? There are many of them. People who claim and ascribe to knowledge. Maybe they have doctor's degrees. Maybe he's known as an Islamic thinker. Maybe he's known as a social reformist. Or whatever the names they make for them. Mufakir Islami. They say like this. But then you see him opposing the very fundamental principles. Maybe he has a doctor's degree, but you see him telling the people it's okay to make dua to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and ask him for shafa'ah directly. Huh? Would a degree help that? No, that won't help him. That will not help him with Allah Azza wa Jal. There's many verses that the shafa'ah is the possession, is in Allah's hands. It's the mulk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَشْفَعُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ. And no one can intercede with him except with his permission, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then we have to see that, yes, getting the knowledge is important, but also as important, getting it from the right sources. Because if not, one might think he has the knowledge, but he doesn't. He has misguidance. Na'udhu billah. So, this understanding here, that Ibn Qayyim, he mentioned, what is knowledge? What Allah said? What the Messenger said? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and what his companion said. Now, these are the ones or the possessors of sound knowledge and understanding. This has come in the Prophet and in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We see this great Imam Ibn Qayyim, he mentioned these statements here. And this is the proper understanding. He died in the year 751. Before him, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned this likewise. Because this is the revelation that has come to him, the Quran. And he is the one who has clarified it in his sunnah, and it was revealed to him. مَا يَنْطِقُ أَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. He does not speak from his desires, verily it is a revelation revealed. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he didn't just say how to pray Fajr. If you look in the Quran, you won't see it says that there's 2 rak'ah, you recite the Fatiha in both of them. And you recite out loud and you make ruku' and you make sujood. How was this revealed? How did the Salat al-Fajr come to be 2 rak'ah like this? It's not in the Quran. How many rak'ah it is? It was revealed to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is a revelation. It's revelation, the way to pray. Naam? Wa Quran al-Fajr. How is Quran al-Fajr? He mentioned the verses here. The times of Salat in the verse. Wa Quran al-Fajr. But it doesn't mention how the manner to pray Fajr. Aqimu salat. Wa aqimu salat. Like this. Wa yuqimuna salat. Many places in the Quran, but it doesn't mention. The Quran, this is clarified by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This clarification is revelation. This clarification is revelation. How to make wudu. Naam? And the proper way. And the invalidators of wudu. And the likes like this, all of the clarification of this is in the sunnah. What is the nisab of the ibn? And the baqar? And the dhahab? And the fiddah? What is the amount that is obligatory to give zakat? That comes in the sunnah. This is revelation. This is revelation, the clarification. So the Quran is revelation and the sunnah is revelation. Who are those who transmitted to us the Quran and the sunnah? How did it reach us? The companions. The companions, they're the ones who learned it from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they're the ones who transmitted to us. The Quran was transmitted from Allah to Jibreel and to the Prophet, sometimes directly to the Prophet, then to his companions. They transmitted that to us. The Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was clarified from the Prophet, and he taught his companions. They transmitted that to us. So there's no way for an individual to ever understand anything about Islam except by way of the companions. They're the ones who have transmitted to us. Whom naqalat ad-deen. They're the ones who conveyed the Quran from the Prophet to us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From the Messenger to us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So who knows better then? The ones who witnessed the revelation? The ones who learned the revelation from the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or somebody who came after them? No, this is the right way. This is the right way. This is the knowledge that we have to be upon. This is the understanding of the deen. The understanding of al-Islam is their understanding. And any understanding that is contrary to that, that's not the correct understanding. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned about them that He said, رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَلَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ يُبَايِعُونَكَ تَحْتَ الشَّجَرِ. Verily Allah is pleased with the believers whenever they gave you an oath and they gave you the bay'ah, allegiance under the tree. These are the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Bakr and Umar, Uthman and Ali, Ibn Abbas and the likes, and the rest of the companions, Ibn Mas'ud. Naam? They're the ones that were upon what Allah is pleased with. They're the ones who are upon the straight path. اِهْدِينَا سِرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ سِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ نَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ. Who are they? النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءَ وَالصَّالِحِينَ. Naam? These are, who is the leader of the Nabiyeen? An-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who is the leader of the Siddiqeen? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Who is the leader of the Shuhada? Hamza, Umar, Uthman and Ali, Shuhada. Naam? Who is the leader of the pious and the righteous? The rest of the companions, they have the first right for this, to be from the righteous. So the religion that they were upon, that's the proper religion. That's the proper Islam. So then we say that they lived and they died upon the straight path. So if we want to be on the straight path, we have to be on their way. So anybody who opposes their way, then he has left the straight path. The straight path is their way. If we understand the deen, the creed, the belief, different than Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma, different than the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where do we get this understanding from? They're the ones that lived and died upon the straight path, that Allah was pleased about them, and their acts of worship and their understanding. So this is the case. Then knowledge is what? Al-ilmu qala Allahu qala rasuluhu qala sahabatu. Naam, hum ulu al-irfani. This is the case. This is the case. We have to understand that. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned about this. He said, it comes in Sunan Abi Dawud from the Haditha of Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma. He said, Tasma'un. He mentioned to his companion, he said, Antum, Tasma'una wa yusma'u minkum wa yusma'u min man yasma'u minkum. Huh? Allahu Akbar. This is a proof for the isnad, the chain, that it has to go back to them. He said that verily, and he tasma'un antum, as sahaba, tasma'un, you're going to hear. And he hear the revelation, meaning from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa yusma'u minkum. Wa yusma'u min man sami'a minkum. This is mentioned three tabaqat from the ruwat al-hadith. The companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the tabi'un, the students of the companions, and the students of the students of the companions. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, verily you will hear. And meaning the revelation. And it will be heard from you. And then those will hear from those who heard from you. Like this. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned another authentic narration. خَيْرٌ nas قَرْنِي ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ. Like this. He said, the best of the generations is my generation. And then those who follow, and then those who follow. What does it mean, the best of the generation? The best of the generations entirely in the deen. The best of the people in the deen and in creed. The best of the people in knowledge and in fiqh. The best of the people with regards to the understanding of the religion of Allah Azza wa Jal. خَيْرُ النَّاسِ قَرْنِي ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ. This is the case. This is the case. So then the understanding of the Sahaba, this is the knowledge. Because they're the ones who understood the Qur'an and the Sunnah. They're ones who transmitted the Qur'an and the Sunnah. So anybody who tries to talk bad about the Sahaba, and really what are they, in reality what are they doing? They're trying to talk bad about the deen. The one who narrated the most narrations? Abu Huraira, over 5,000 narrations. Why did they try to talk bad about Abu Huraira? If they can drop him, then they drop all of his hadith. Huh?
Talking bad about the religion.
Yeah, we shouldn't listen to this person. This person right here is very misguided. This person right here, na'udhu billah. Na'am? Na'udhu billah. The ummah has agreed. قَدْ تَلَقَتْ الْأُمَّةِ كِتَابَي صَحِيح مُسْلِم بُخَارِي وَمُسْلِم بِالْقَبُولِ. And the ummah has agreed for hundreds of years that these are the most authentic books written by men. Bukhari and Muslim. And they have agreed on the authenticity of many other hadith likewise. That's not in there. This is something that is, they say, badhiyat. Yeah, this is something that is given. It's already known. Alhamdulillah, Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, you don't have to think about it. Alhamdulillah. So we would not want to listen to this type of person. May Allah guide him and save the Muslims from his misguidance. But the case is that they try to speak ill. Why? Because what happens if, for example, khalas, let's say the people listen to him and they don't accept Bukhari no more. Where now, innama al-amala bin niyat is gone. Huh? Kalimatani, khafifatani, al-lisani, habibatani, al-rahmani, it's all gone. That's Bukhari Muslim, the first and the last hadith right there, and everything in between. The first hadith is al-niyat, the last hadith is this hadith about the Khadimatani, and then everything in between. What is Muslim going to do now? He can't pray anymore. He doesn't know Hajj anymore. He doesn't na'udhu billah from this misguidance. This is the point. This is what they want to do. So even though if he claims that he is a Muslim and he loves Islam, in reality the one who speaks bad about the companions, he is speaking bad about the Qur'an. Because the ones who transmitted the Qur'an to us are the companions. The ones who speak bad about the companions, they're speaking bad about the Sunnah. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they have a bigger goal. The bigger goal is Islam. If the companions go, then who? That's why the Rafida, that's the first thing they do, is try to take out the companions. How do we learn the adhan we just heard? If we want to learn how to make the adhan properly, where will we return to?
Sunnah.
Where at? In Bukhari and Muslim. Hadith Abi Mahdura, Zayd ibn Abi Rabbihi, Zayd ibn Abi Abdi Rabbihi, Takriban, the companion, radiallahu anhumah. There's two narrations of the adhan from these two companions in Bukhari, in Muslim, and other than from the books of the Sunnah. If you get rid of the companions, there's no adhan. If they take out the companion, there's no Quran. They're the transmitters, they're the ones who relate the deen to us. If we take off the companions, there's no sunnah, there's no wudu, there's no. This is the goal for those who speak ill of the companions. That's why, subhanAllah, this is not a new understanding. Actually, there's a great imam, his name is Abu Zurah al-Razi. Abu Zurah al-Razi, rahimahullah ta'ala, from the great narrators of hadith and from the ulama and from the mashayikh of Bukhari. Rahimahum Allahu Jamian, Abu Zura, he died in the year 264. He mentioned, he says, إِذَا رَأَيْتَ الرَّجُلَ يَتَنَقَّصُ أَحَدًا مِنْ أَصْحَابِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فَاعْلَمْ أَنُّهُ زِنْدِيقٌ وَذَلِكَ أَنَّ الرَّسُولَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ عِنْدَنَا حَقٌ وَالْقُرْآنُ حَقٌ وَإِنَّمَا أَدَّى إِلَيْنَا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ وَالسُّنَّةَ أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وإنما يريدون أن يجرحوا شهودنا ليبطلوا الكتاب والسنة والجرح بهم أولى وهم زنادقة. This is the statement of Abu Zura al-Razi, great narrator of hadith. He said, if you see a man يتنقص أحد من أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, talking bad about somebody from the companions of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, then know that he is a heretic, zindiq. Zindiq is somebody who is worse than a munafiq. He enters into Islam with the intent of corrupting it. He enters into Islam not for a personal gain like a munafiq, but worse than that, he wants to corrupt it and its people. He said, if you see somebody talking bad about the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then know that he is a heretic. He said, and this is because the Messenger with us, he is the truth. And the Quran is the truth. And they are, and the only ones who have conveyed this Quran and this Sunnah to us is the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they want to disparage our witnesses. They want to speak ill and find fault with our witnesses. And those who have testified to us that Allah said this in His book, those who have testified to us that the Messenger said this in His Sunnah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they're the witnesses, shuhada Allah, huh? And he says, but really, in reality, the jarh and disparagement and criticism is more rightful for them. And they're heretics. So to speak ill about the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is in reality taking a shot and trying to bring down the deen of Allah, because they are the ones who witnessed the revelation and conveyed it to us. They're the ones who learned the sunnah and conveyed it to us. And this is the case. And that's why whenever the fitna came and there began spreading, the deviation entered, that's when they started asking, where did you get this narration from? That's whenever, at this time, as the brother mentioned earlier, that's when Ibn Sirin, he began to say this. He said, إِنَّ هَذَا الْعِلْمَ دِينٌ فَانْظُرُ أَمَّا تَأْخُذُونَ دِينَكُمْ. Verily, this knowledge is religion. Look to where you take your religion from. What does that mean? إِنَّ هَذَا الْعِلْمَ دِينٌ مَالِكِ يَوْمِ الدِّينِ وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا يَوْمُ الدِّينِ ثُمَّ مَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا يَوْمُ الدِّينِ يَوْمَ الدِّينِ the day of deen, يَوْمُ الْجَزَاءِ وَالْحِسَابِ الْيَوْمَ الَّذِي تُوزَنُ الْأَعْمَالِ فَفَرِيقٌ فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَفَرِيقٌ فِي السَّعِيرِ. The deen is the day of recompense, the day of resurrection. The deen also, it means the actions and the deeds. كَمَا تَدِينُ تُدَانِ, as you do, it will be done to you. لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَ دِينِ لَكُمْ أَعْمَالُكُمْ وَلَنَا أَعْمَالُنَا. You have your actions, we have your actions, you have your deen, you have your deen. The deen is actions, belief and actions. What happens on the day of resurrection? Huh? The scales. What happens to them? The scales will be set up. And the deeds will be weighed. إِنَّ هَذَا الْعِلْمَ دِينٌ فَانْظُرُوا مَنْ تَأْخُذُونَ دِينَكُمْ. The deeds are going to be weighed. A person's deeds are going to be put on the scale. If he had taken his knowledge and his deeds are based on the proper knowledge and performed in the proper manner with sincerity and following the sunnah, then they will be accepted. And if not, then they will be rejected. Then taking the deen is very important, because based upon this knowledge, we're going to perform our actions. Based upon this knowledge, we're going to perform our actions. We're going to have our creed is based upon knowledge. Iman and the angels is based upon knowledge. The manner to perform salat is based upon knowledge. If it's from the wrong knowledge or from the wrong source, then the action is going to be wrong. These actions are going to be weighed. فَمَنْ ثَقَلَتْ مَوَازِينُهُ فَهُوَ فِي عِشَةِ الرَّاضِيَةِ. This is the case. So then learning, the getting the knowledge from the proper source is very important. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.